Well, hello everyone, and once again, this is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, greeting you in the wonderful name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, he's the one who bore away my sin in his own body on the tree. Friends, here we are with another day of grace, and yet another opportunity to present the claims of Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinful men and women, boys and girls. We'll start the broadcast off today by asking God's blessing on his word. Our God and our Father, we bow our hearts in thy presence today to thank thee for thy Son, thine unspeakable gift. We thank thee, our God, for the value and the virtue of his death at Calvary and the shedding of that precious blood without which there can be no remission for sin. We claim thy promise that thy word shall not return void. So we claim thy promise today that souls will be saved through faith in Jesus Christ alone. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Now then, I'll be reading as my text for today a verse of scripture as we find it in Peter's second epistle. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Well, friends, today I'd like to discuss with you a subject which I feel I am uniquely qualified to discuss. And that subject is the long-suffering of God. Yes, the patience or long-suffering of God. Friend, if anyone can attest to the long-suffering of God, it's the speaker. Yes, for 30 years I rebelled against the God of heaven, and many, many times I knowingly resisted the Holy Spirit of God. You know, when I think of how God spared my life, and how he continually manifested his love and mercy and grace toward me, well, I must confess, I can't understand such love. No, I can't comprehend with my mere finite mind how God could love me so much that he was willing to send his only Son into the world to die on the cross for my sin. Friends, I read in Romans 5 and 8 that God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, we're told, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. And finally, I think of the most wonderful words ever uttered. Yes, in John 3 and verse 16, Lord Jesus Christ says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And sinner friend, I thank God that his grace abounds greater than our sin, because on June the 2nd, 1952, I responded to the Holy Spirit of God and accepted God's Son as my own and personal Savior. And friends, I've never been sorry. No, and you can go from the North Pole to the South and around the equator from the East to the West, and you'll never find one person whoever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, who was ever sorry that they did so. Oh no, we've found him to be all that he ever claimed to be. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Yes, he's the one who, my friend, will never leave nor forsake you. And friend, if I do nothing else on this program today, I want to recommend to you the sinner Savior and everlasting friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that there are countless Christians listening in today who would join me in urging you, if you're unsaved, to trust the sinner Savior and to know the joy of sin forgiven. And I'm sure that I speak for all truly born-again Christians listening in today when I say that we wouldn't trade our salvation for all the wealth in the world. We often wonder how long we ever got along without the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friends, here in our text, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, we read first of all about the long-suffering of God. And you know, the Bible has much to say about this characteristic of God, for we read his long-suffering towards Cain over there in Genesis chapter 4, when he offered Cain another opportunity to bring forth a bloody sacrifice. In Genesis chapter 7, we read of God's long-suffering with the antediluvians in the time of Noah. You recall how he permitted, for 120 years, he permitted them to heed the warning regarding the flood. And even after the 8 persons entered the ark, and the door of the ark was shut, the ark sat there with its occupants for 7 days before the rains came. Yes, God was long-suffering towards those people in those days, and yet not one of those people sought to enter the ark. Then you recall how patient God was with the evil-hearted Pharaoh when God's people were in their bondage down in Egypt. And then I think of his long-suffering towards the people of Sodom and Gomorrah when Abraham was pleading with God to spare the cities if he could find 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, or even 10 righteous people in the doomed cities. Mind you, friend, God was willing to spare the sinful cities of the plain if Abraham could find even 10 righteous people living there, but they were not to be found. Yes, God was truly long-suffering to those people too. And you recall how patient God was in waiting for 7 days before the city of Jericho was to be destroyed by Joshua. Yes, over and over again, we read of how God is long-suffering towards his creature man. And the reason for this long-suffering or patience is always the same. Because he was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Over in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33 and verse 11, we're told that God desires not the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his evil ways and live. And sinner friend, the edict is still the same today. You'll either turn or you'll burn. Now friends, in our text, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, it not only reveals the long-suffering of God, but it also reveals the object of his great compassion. The verse says that he is long-suffering to usward. In other words, his love and mercy and grace are available to everyone and anyone who will come to him through faith in Jesus Christ, his Son. Yes, the salvation of God is for the rich and the poor, the old and the young, the tramp and the teacher, the pope and the peasant, the Russian and the American, the Catholic, the Protestant, the Jew or the Muslim. Sinner friend, we read in 1 Timothy 2 and 4 that God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now perhaps someone is saying like Pilate of old, well, what is truth? Well friends, truth is not a philosophical football that bounces around in the university classrooms these days. Yes, and taught by godless professors too. Oh no, truth is a person. And that person is none other than God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, here's what he declares. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again in John chapter 1 and verse 14, we're told that the Lord Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. Friends, philosophers for centuries have been trying to determine what truth is. And when they had truth personified in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, they revealed their hatred for truth by crucifying him on the old rugged cross. Now getting back to our text, we notice that the patience or long-suffering of God is to usward. Yes, to usward. The Apostle Paul tells us over in Romans 5 and 8 that God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And friends, the reason the Lord Jesus Christ came was to save everyone and anyone who would trust in him. Yes, with simple childlike faith. Why? Because we're all sinners. I'm no better than you and you're no better than me. We're all rebel creatures of God. And we're all lost and spiritually dead unless we've been saved or born again through faith in Christ. Over in Romans chapter 3, we read of God's indictment against all mankind. And here's how he sums it up at the end. Yes, in verses 22 and 23, he says, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, regardless of how religious, how virtuous, how educated, how sincere, regardless of who we may be in the sight of a holy God. Friend, listen, we're lost. Oh, I might look all right to you, and you might look all right to me, but how do we look in the sight of an all-seeing God? Friends, if we've never been born again through faith in the blood of Christ, then according to God, not according to Minor Hawk, but according to God, we're all lost, guilty, rebel creatures and on the broad road that leads to hell and the lake of fire. I know that some of you modernists who may be listening in, and perhaps some of you jelly-spine preachers too, you don't like to hear this fact brought before you. Because it's contrary to what you believe and what you preach. But friend, listen, The Word of God makes it quite clear that God is not only a long-suffering God. Yes, He's a God of love. But if a sinner rebels against God's love, then he'll soon fall victim to the wrath of God. Yes, the wrath of a sin-hating God. And that means the flames of hell and the ultimate lake of fire. And furthermore, sinner friend, don't let anyone ever tell you that poppycock theory that hell is the grave or just a separation from God. Oh, no. Hell, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, in Luke chapter 16, is a place of eternal torment for all those who die unsaved without having trust in Him as their Savior and Lord. Now, friends, in our text, 2 Peter 3 and 9, it also tells us very clearly the purpose of God's long-suffering towards us, and that is that all should come to repentance. Friends, listen, on every hand we hear and read of people expressing their opinions on what this world needs today. Some say we need stronger military forces. Others say we need cures for dreaded diseases, such as AIDS and cancer and diabetes and multiple sclerosis and so on. Friend, listen, what this world needs today is to repent. To repent. Isn't that the message that Paul gave those over there in the city of Athens? Yes, over in Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse 30. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness. Did you notice, my friend? God wants the sinner to repent now. God now commandeth, not tomorrow or next week or next month. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Friend, there's judgment ahead. Judgment ahead. And yet we're told in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Friend, God wants to save you today. Would that you were just as anxious to be saved as God is to have you saved. Yes, He's long-suffering. He's patient. He's very compassionate and loving. But my friend, again, I must tell you that if you don't accept the love and the mercy and the grace of God expressed in His salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, then you'll have to suffer the wrath of God. Oh, friend, please, please, as this broadcast comes to a close today, and you're hearing the gospel perhaps for the first time, and then again perhaps for the last time, friend, I would plead with you, acknowledge that you're the sinner for whom Christ has died. Admit there's nothing you can do to save your own soul. Mind you, friend, if there was, then why did Jesus die? If baptism could save your soul, why did Jesus die? If living a so-called good, clean life could save your soul, then why did Jesus die? No, my friend. All our good works and righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight, according to Isaiah 64 and 6. So, friend, I plead with you today, in love for your soul, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, because if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we again bow in Thy presence to pray Thy blessing upon Thy word. And we trust, our God, that Thou wilt honor afresh Thy Son by saving souls, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry or other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, P.O. Box number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. That address again is the Voice of the Gospel, P.O. Box 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. And now to our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.